It's not as significant now as it used to be, but do you remember the first time you went to a theater? And the first time you saw a movie on that big screen? I don't remember the first movie I saw. But I do remember the first time I went to a theater, and I think they called it CinemaScope. Do you remember when the screen got wider? And it was like super big. We don't make TVs that big, and it's a good thing because they wouldn't fit in your house. But it was huge. And I remember sitting about three rows from the front. And I remember sitting there, and we got there early. And I sat in the center, and I had to watch. I was so close, you couldn't see the whole screen. You had to do this. And I did this the whole movie. And the first time I ever went to a theater with that kind of screen and that kind of movie, it was about Jesus. In that scene on Calvary, when he's on the cross, I still had to go like this. Because the way they filmed that and put it on the screen, Jesus was so huge. And the cross was bigger than anything I ever pictured. I mean, I'd gone to church many a times, and I had seen crosses, and even this one isn't that big compared to what was on that screen, especially sitting three rows from the front. And ever since then, it kind of did an imprint for me about how big Jesus is. And so I grew up going to Sunday school and youth group, Bible classes and things like that. And I was reminded time and time again how great Jesus is, how big Jesus is. And when they used that word big, I thought, oh yeah, the movie, I saw that. Have you seen the big Jesus in your own life and in your own journey? When you visualize him, how great is he? How wondrous is he? How powerful he is? Well, when we come to the baptism of Christ, and here you have John the Baptist, and it's important because this was prophesied in the Old Testament. This is big. God is keeping his word. It is important because Jesus is now identified as the suffering servant, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's huge. And then you have this great voice, at least in my head. It's an awesome voice. It's a male voice. It's a bass singer's voice, you know. And here, this is my beloved son. And that's huge. And that's big. But put it into context. It's amazing what didn't happen. Jesus is being baptized. John the Baptist, his baptism was about repentance of sin. What didn't happen is Jesus himself didn't repent. He had no sin. The Bible even tells you, he who knew no sin, King James Version, right? He who knew no sin was made sin for us. What didn't happen, Jesus didn't stand there and said, I blew it. I messed up. I need to repent. I need to be washed. That did not happen. What was happening was the fact that Jesus was fulfilling the law. He was doing something that modeled for us what we need to do, the call to repent, the call to say, I have sinned, I have fallen short of the glory of God. It is what has happened, but Jesus didn't sin. When John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," we are reminded that Jesus was baptized. Jesus is anointed in that sense by the Holy Spirit to declare publicly, this is God's sacrifice. Ever before the cross takes place. So the people could start watching and be aware of what is yet to come and to have clues or hints that this is a fulfillment of the scriptures. But what didn't happen was it wasn't in the royal court. It wasn't in a palace with grand surroundings. John wasn't fancy king with cool duds, robes, chains. John was in camel's hair, long-haired, raggy. He may have smelled because he didn't bathe a lot. They didn't in those days. And it wasn't with prince and princesses and landowners and the movers and the shakers of the community or the nation at the time. It was among the beggars and the thieves and the people that were being moved to repent of their sin and to be baptized. It wasn't the people that could help Jesus. It was the people for whom Jesus came to rescue. It was those who are helpless. And Jesus wasn't touched with a sword on each shoulder. I anoint you, Lamb of God. Instead, it was the water. The water and the word. Now, what does that teach us? It reminds us that at times that we are looking for the glory in the wrong places, in the wrong kinds of ways. We like the idea of being recognized and awarded. And it is now, I understand, almost in our society that everybody gets a certificate and everybody gets a trophy. And if you compete, it makes no difference. You know, just because you showed up, you know. And sometimes, even in school, it is portrayed that way. And I don't believe it's that way with every teacher, but it's portrayed that if you show up, the students expect an A. Well, I did most of the work. Well, what does that mean? Well, I turned in 40% of my assignments. Doesn't that count for something? And the parents are going, but my kid turned in some of their work. They shouldn't be failing. And it's like we have this all kinds of methods in which we pat ourselves on the back or we pat each other's on the back and we glorify one another and we think that's the way it should be in our world. We've even taken it to the level that, you know, whatever I am and whoever I am and what I think I am, you are supposed to go, wow, and be awed by it, even if you disagree with it. We live in a world that's nuts. Y'all agree? Yeah. Jesus shows us to be brothers and sisters of Christ. It isn't to be in the accolades and the recognition of our world. And it isn't to crave the palace and the courtyard and the robes and the jewelry. It isn't to, you know, just wants to be king of the class or to be first in line, every line. But Jesus is the one who shows us the path of what it means in obedience to God. He shows us a path that we fail at. He shows us a path in which he does perfect and a path that he fulfills in our place. But yet as we are, as it says in Romans, we're united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And as we are given new life, we are still to be on this kind of path instead of the human thinking, human craving, human desiring, human adoring path. I remember when one singer-performer wore an outfit of meat. I don't know if you remember that. It was on TV. I thought, why is the world enamored? You know? But that just shows our sinful nature, doesn't it? So think about what didn't happen. There's no royal court. There's no crowd applauding. There's no recognition. There's no certificate. There's no human profit in this event of Jesus' baptism. Those things didn't happen, and it leads us to understand what did happen. And it leads us to be reminded of who we have as our Savior and how He leads the way. And so later on, when Jesus said to the disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit," we are reminded that John's was a baptism of repentance, and Jesus in the water and the word gave us a baptism of not only just repentance, but a baptism of salvation. That we would be made alive in Christ, to follow Christ. And that means that in our lives, instead of having such big heads, large egos, and great human cravings, instead, we too follow the servant. So that when there are needs to be done, we don't pout, we don't stomp our feet, we don't go, "Oh man, you know, what's in it for me?" is the question our human sinful nature wants answered. Instead of, how does this serve God? So that the Father says to the Son, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And He says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's in the book of Revelation. You and I are called to be servants of the Most High God. Instead of fame seekers and wealth seekers and big life seekers and thrill seekers and all of the things that the flesh is about. We aren't going to hear this in the motivational speeches, and we're not going to hear this in, you know, how to change the world, and we're not going to hear this in all the high school senior dresses and whether it's, and then again at college. We need to be reminded the things that didn't happen teach us about what shouldn't be happening in our life. It's not something we should hold on to. And we don't need it to be fulfilled or to be filled. Because what we have, I don't want to give away. You're called God's child. Can you get higher than that? Can the Academy Awards of some genre give you a better award than that? Can having something in the top 10 give you better rewards than that? Can someone in this universe of ours give you better recognition and acknowledgement than God saying to you through the water and the word, "You are mine"? Then why is it we crave the things of the world? We already have the best title, the best place, the best declaration in Christ. And then what else do you get? Instead of money, silver, or the, as the Bible says, precious gold, right? Or precious stones even. We get the forgiveness of our sins. There is no drug that can give you that. There is no medical treatment that gives you that. There's no surgery that can take care of it. There is no education that can raise you above it. It is something that God has given you in Jesus Christ. Can you get better than that? He's given you a place in heaven. Hawaii would be nice, right? When there's no tsunami, no hurricane, and a better price. You know. Because some of the fanciest places in our planet cost the greatest, don't they? But he's giving you something that's been paid for, debt-free, an eternal home. Think of all the things that didn't happen, and it leads you to focus on what did happen and why we hold on to this truth and this biblical portion so much more, and how we come to rejoice in it, that Jesus went down to the water and was baptized by John, the repentance of sin. In our place, showing us what it means to be God's child in obedience and what it means to be declared a child of God. And then he goes on and he takes the sin of the world with him on his whole ministry journey, and he goes to the cross and he dies. It's one of the hardest visual things, I think, in the movie The Passion of Christ, right? If you watched him being whipped and did not blink, you must have really poor eyesight, because I could not take that. I looked away. And you watch him getting nailed, and the way they visualize that for us, even the sound was bad enough. And then he's lifted up. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who does something that I can't do. Behold the Lamb of God who did it for you and for me. Behold the Lamb of God who overcame death, sin, and the devil. The baptism of Christ. It's a glorious picture, but not on earthly definitions, not in earthly values or terms. But for you and I, it is glorious. And we hold on to it all the more. In Jesus' name, amen.